This is how to be Yotze Megillah reading. Everyone has to be Yotze Megillah reading on Purim, men and women as well. Chazal made women chayv in Megillah reading as well on Purim. So, page 307, Siman Tafrei Sadi. So there are three rules you have to know about Megillah reading. And if you know these three rules together, so then you can figure out what to do. Okay. So, rule number one is in Seif Gimel, page 307. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Tzarich likrosa kula. You have to read the whole Megillah. Now, most of us don't read the Megillah. Most of us are Yotzei the Megillah by listening to someone else read the Megillah. What do we call that? Shomea Keona. Okay. So what this means is you have to read or hear the entire Megillah. Okay, that's rule number one. You must read or hear the entire Megillah. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that if you miss even one word, you're not Yotze. Look in the Mishnah Berurah Hey, V'hu le'ikuva. Le'ikuva means that if you don't do this, you're not Yotze. V'das rov ha'poskim, she'afid l'imchiser mimena rak teva achas lo yotze. If you missed even one word, you're not Yotze. One word. And that's the standard of psak. So you have to hear or read the entire Megillah. That's rule number one. This can happen in real life. Once there was a Megillah reading. Anyway, so we called the Baal Koreh, and I said, how do you say this word? And he said, I said, no, that's a mistake. He goes, oh yeah, you're right. So it was a mistake. So we were invited for Gan. We called at the time Rav Neuber Tzatzal, and he said, you have to tell everyone to hear the Megillah again. He's going to call, we had to call the people, a little awkward, call the people there, and okay, so it could happen. So anyway, so that's rule number one, read or hear the entire Megillah. Okay. Rule number two, you have to read or hear at least most of the Megillah from a kosher Megillah. Well, keep on, we'll look in the Shulchan Aruch. Umitocha Ksav, from a kosher Megillah. Vimkara al pelo yatza. Aval bidiyevet, im hishmin asofer, biemso estevos, afilu ad chetzia, vikara al pe yatza. That means, that's in the Shulchan Aruch Sif Gimel. That means, you have to read or hear the entire Megillah. And it's preferable to read or hear the entire Megillah from a kosher Megillah, obviously. But it's okay to read or hear some of the Megillah from a non-kosher Megillah. Baal Peh or a non-kosher Megillah is the same thing. This means as follows. This means as follows, just to give you a case. A person's at Megillah reading, let's say, and he's there, and his wife is due any second. So, when I was here, 20 years ago, we had beepers, now we have cell phones, and then during Megillah reading, your wife sends you a text and says, this is it. Come home now. She's going away. And you have like half a parak left of the Megillah. So one option is to listen to the rest of the Megillah till the end, hear it out. But that's sakanas nefashas, because when your wife finds out, she'll kill you. Okay, whatever. So that's a mistake to do that, obviously. So you leave. But as you're walking to the car, or whatever, you can take your chumash, and the guy can just read the last half of a parak of the Megillah. So he heard 9.5 prakim from the Baal Koreh, and the last half of the parak, the last 10 psukim, he read on his own. Totally okay. You got the case? That's okay. He read or heard every word of the Megillah, and he read or heard the vast majority of the Megillah from a kosher Megillah, and the last 10 psukim he read on his own. So that could be a real case. We'll see, and this is going to be very lemaisa. It's lichadchila, you should read or hear the whole Megillah from a kosher Megillah. But it's okay, and it's up to half the Megillah. Now, we're not going to normally read four prakim from a non-kosher Megillah, but we'll see. But theoretically, you could do this. Theoretically, part of the Megillah case, this case is a little harder, but this could happen in real life. Someone's running late to Megillah reading, and they get into the Megillah 2 minutes late. They're 2 minutes late. So the guy's in the third pasuk. So either you can wait for the next Megillah reading, yeah, but it's going to throw off your whole schedule and this, and you want to learn with your kids, you have to deliver Shalach Manos, there's so much to do. So you walked in 3 minutes late to the Megillah reading, you can say the brachos to yourself quietly, start reading the Megillah from your chumash, and catch up to where the guy is, and then start listening to the rest of the Megillah. So what did you do? It's the opposite of the first case. You read or heard 9.5 prakim from a kosher Megillah. The first half a parak you read on your own. Again, it's hard to do that just because he's going fast and you have to read, you have to make sure you hear every word. But theoretically, it could happen. You come 2 minutes late, you say the brachos to yourself. When I'm done, you say the brachos to yourself, you read a few psukim, you catch up to where he's up to, then you start listening. So that's rule number two, that ideally you want to hear the entire Megillah from a kosher Megillah, read or hear. But it's okay if part of the Megillah is not from a kosher Megillah. And the third rule is, this is in Seif Vav, page 309. Seif Vav, this is from the Mishnah, page 309. Hakoriyas HaMegillah Yotze. If you read the Megillah out of order, you're not Yotze. That means you must read or hear the entire Megillah in order. That's crucial. That means, let's say you're in the fourth parak of the Megillah, and you missed a few words. Something happened, you missed a few words. You'll say, fine, I'll wait till the Megillah's over, and I'll say those few words at the end. No good. You have to read or hear the entire Megillah in order. You can't be Yotze the Megillah out of order. That's a rule from the Mishnah, and that's in the Shulchan Aruch. So, for example, they make noise during Haman. Okay, that's the custom. So some Baal Koreis try to be careful when they read the Megillah. They'll finish Haman's name before the noise starts, or they'll restate Haman's name after the noise ends, just to be safe. But let's say your Baal Korei doesn't do that, and you think you're not sure you heard Haman. So you think you may have missed five Haman. So when the Megillah's over, you'll say Haman, 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 Haman. No good. What you have to do is, at that point, when they get up to Haman, you say to yourself that you can hear Haman, and that way you got that word in order. And that way, in case the Baal Kori doesn't repeat the word, or you might miss it, Haman in order, and that's how your Yotze the Megillah. See, these are the three rules. Every word, read or hear every word. You want to look at Chila, read or hear from a kosher Megillah, but it's okay if part of it's not from a kosher Megillah. And three, it has to be in order. Oh. So this is why, during the Megillah reading, you want to have a Megillah in front of you. You want to have a Megillah in front of you. You're listening to the Megillah. You're following along. And in case you miss a couple of words, let's say you're there. Sometimes people bring little kids to the Megillah who make a lot of noise. That's a mistake. That's not what's supposed to happen. If you have little kids, your husband goes to the first Megillah reading and you watch the kids. You go to the second reading, he watches the kids. You don't bring your kids to the Megillah until they can sit for the whole Megillah. Just don't. It's not worth it. Oh, they'll have good memories that they were there for Haman. No, they'll have bad memories of the other people giving them dirty looks when they're making noise. And rightly so, but it's not right. But let's say you're in a shul and their kids are making noise. So you missed a couple of words. So what do you do? I missed three words. Now the Baal Kori kept on reading. So what do you do? Those three words you say to yourself that you can hear them. Yeah, but when you said those three words from your chumash, what happened? He kept on reading, right? So you have to keep on reading to yourself until you catch up to where the Baal Kori is. Then you stop reading and start listening again. Is that clear? That's what you do. So you have your chumash in front of you with the Megillah in it. You missed a few words. Okay, start reading those words. Again, you want to read them where you can hear them. And you don't want to annoy your neighbor reading it too loud, so you can't do it the right way. You're trying to read quickly because you want to read it fast enough that you're catching up to where the Baal Kori is up to. Then you stop reading and jump in to listen to the Baal Kori. This way you heard from the Baal Kori 9.5 prakim, and you read a few psukim to yourself. That's what you do. So this is why, and this is interesting, the Mishnah Berurah keeps on mentioning, ideally, it's better to have in front of you a kosher Megillah. Why? Because that way, in case you missed a couple of words, and you're reading those words to catch up, to make up the words, you're reading from a kosher Megillah. And that way you're getting the mitzvah lechatchila of reading or hearing the whole Megillah from a kosher Megillah. So on one level, the Mishnah says it a couple of times, on one level, ideally, when you're following along, if you have a kosher Megillah there, then that's the best. Then in case you miss a word or two, Haman, and you say Haman from your Megillah, you're being Yotzei the mitzvah lechatchila. The problem is, that doesn't work for most of us, because most of us don't know the Megillah so well without the nekudos, without the dots, without the vowels. So let's say I missed a couple of words. I don't know the Megillah perfectly that I can read from my kosher Megillah the words properly. Are you with me? So that's why, unless you really know the Megillah really well, it's better to have a regular Megillah in front of, like a Chumash. That way you can, with the words, and catch up. You with me? So, in other words, in a perfect world, if you know how to learn the Megillah so well, then you could have a kosher Megillah. And in case you missed a word or two, catch it from the Megillah. But there are some hard words. And if you want to catch up, you're reading fast, you need the nekudos. So it's like, one of my wife's relatives is a chashuva, he's a sofer. So he would give to whenever his relatives got married, he'd give him a nice Megillah. So I have like this really beautiful Megillah, beautiful big letters. So I use it, but I'm always like half following along in a regular chumash, like at the side, just in case I miss a few words, I'm not confident that I'll read the words from my Megillah properly without the nekudos in case I miss a few words. So this means halacha lemaisa. If you hear Haman, if you miss Haman's name, say Haman. Say it Haman at the right spot, and then you jump back in. If there's noise, kids making a lot of noise, and you think you missed a few words, say those words till you catch up back to where the guy's up to. If you doze off and fall asleep, if your mamash fall asleep, and you wake up, oh my gosh, I fell asleep. So then you missed a couple of psukim. So then you say psukim to yourself. Again, while you're saying those psukim, what's he doing? He's keep on reading. You have to say those words, psukim, and then keep on until you catch up to where he's up to. The last topic is, this is a big discussion. It's called tuning out. What if you're hearing the Megillah and you tune out? That means you don't fall asleep, but like, you know, your mind wanders. So that's a huge machlokas in the poskim, whether you're Yotzei. If your mind wanders a little, and you know, you're basically like your finger's still basically in the right spot, then for sure you're okay. Sometimes your mind wanders and he's two psukim later. So what's the halacha? So it's a big machlokas. Some poskim say the two psukim that you missed when your mind wandered, you have to make up. Some poskim say the two psukim you missed when your mind wandered, you don't have to make up. So personally, my rabban, I spoke to Rav Balinson Shlita about this. He's a big posek, and he assumes you are Yotzei. That's what I go with. It's a chumrah. If you want to try to catch up, you can. But we assume you are Yotzei, and if you tune out, because Lamaisa, your ears heard the words. When you're sleeping, you're like dead to the world. But if you're in the room and you're hearing the words. So even though you weren't tuned in and focused on what the words are, Lamaisa, you heard the words. And in that sense, it's considered a Shemaya Kona. That's a machlokas. Some poskim hold you're only Yotzei if your finger is basically still in the place. That's the Machmir opinion. And others say, no, as long as you didn't fall asleep. If you fell asleep, you fell asleep. If you didn't fall asleep, you just sort of tuned out. I personally hold your Yotzei as a Chumrah. If you want to make up the parts that you missed, as a Chumrah. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that Chumrah. That is topic number one. It's interesting, Rav Balinson brings a proof that the Achronim bring. This is interesting. You know, women are chayav in Megillah reading. And until 60, 70 years ago, most women didn't understand Hebrew that well. They just didn't. We'll get to that later. That was just the reality. Women were quite religious, and they ran Torah homes, and they kept the Masorah going, and they knew how to kosher chickens, and they knew all these things. But to understand regular Hebrew wasn't something that was commonly known. So if I asked you, some of the posts can bring this proof. If I would read a Megillah in Spanish to someone who doesn't know Spanish, it's very hard to concentrate for 35 minutes on a different language that you don't understand at all, that you don't really understand. So, and yet women were Yotzei for generations. So that's an interesting proof, in a sense, that you're Yotzei even if you tune out, as long as you didn't doze off. So that's topic number one. Two is, okay, Matanos Le'Avyonim. So it's like this. Now, Matanos Le'Avyonim. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, Siman Tav Reish Sadi Dalet. Chayav Kol Adam Litein Lefachol Shtei Matanos Shnei Avyon Anim. The minimum is you give a total of two gifts to two anim. That means you give one matana to one ani, and one matana to another ani. That's the matanos le'evyonim. A total of two for two. So you get, that means if you give one matana to one ani, and one matana to the next ani, then you're yotze. That's it. That's the minimum. How much do you have to give? So there are different opinions. So the view that most of the poskim quote nowadays is the amount that would equal a minimal seuda. The Shari Tshuva has a long discussion here, and the poskim quote the Shari Tshuva that the amount for a minimal seuda, let's say $5, a minimal seuda. So if you would give $10, if you would give, let's say, $5 to one ani, that can get you a sandwich and a drink, and $5 to another ani, then you're yotze. Okay, so that's the bare minimum. And you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to give a lot of matanos le'evyonim. But that's the bare minimum. You know, what's called a matana? The Gemara doesn't say what a matana is. What is it, a pruta? A pruta is a penny. So talk to some people, that's what it means, even a pruta, which is a very, very low amount. So the poskim say it's a minimal seuda, and that's what you would give. Now, don't do that. You're supposed to give a lot of matanos le'evyonim. You're supposed to give more matanos le'evyonim than anything else. There is a famous Rambam that you have to know. The Rambam is a halacha sefer. And sometimes within the halacha he gives musar. It's halachic musar. So here there's a famous Rambam where he gives powerful musar, and it's quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes kimat the entire Rambam word for word, Mishnah Berurah Gimel. Mishnah Berurah Gimel. Let's read it inside. This is basically a word for word. We're in Tav Reish Sadi Dalet, page 319. The bottom of the page, Mishnah Berurah Gimel. This is a world famous Rambam that the Mishnah Berurah quotes nearly word for word. You have to know this Rambam, and there's one halacha l'maisa minhag, not a real din book, a minhag that people do based on this Rambam. Aval, the emes, you see it there? In mine it's the first wide line. Is that what is in yours?
Yeah.
Okay, the first wide line. This is famous. The emes, the truth is, the Rambam says, Mutav laharbos b'matanos levyonim, mi laharbos b'sudaso u'bishlochmanos l'reyav. It's better to give a lot of matanos levyonim than it is to have a big suud and shalachmanos. This is the famous Rambam. She'ein simcha gedola u'mufuara el l'sameach levanim b'yishomim v'almanos. There is no greater and more beautiful tiferes, means like beautiful. There's no greater and more beautiful simcha than to be mesameach the hearts of the poor people, the orphans, the widows. Then the Rambam says, "V'domel l'shchina." And when you do this, you're godlike. Shenemar l'hachayos ruach shefalim l'hachayos leiv nidkaim. That God gives strength to God raises and strengthens the spirit of those that are poor and those that are downtrodden. It's a beautiful, beautiful Rambam. The greatest simcha is helping those that are in extra need, and it makes you godlike. And that's why if you're choosing where to spend your extra money, it should be more matanos le'evyonim than theoretically, if you would spend $200 on your suda and $200 on your shalach manas and give $180 to matanos le'evyonim, you're yotze. You're okay, you're yotze. But that's not the right thing to do. You have your priorities wrong. You should be giving more to matanos le'evyonim. I know a lot of people that what they do is they estimate how much they spent on the suda and shalach manas, and they give that amount plus a little more to matanos le'evyonim. That's a great idea. You don't have to do that, but that's a great idea. Then you say, whoa, that's so much money. If that's so much money, then you've got your priorities wrong. That's exactly the point. If you have a massive suda and you give shalach manas to the whole neighborhood and you give each one a nice bottle of wine and this, and then you have left over this much money, so this is your suda and this is your suda and shalach manas, and this is your matanas levyonim, then your priorities are skewed. That's exactly the point of the Rambam. Don't do that. So cut back a little on the shalach manas. have your suda. You don't have to have steak. You could have chicken at the suda and save, you know, $50, whatever it is. And, you know, that's exactly the point. If that's a crazy amount of money, then you've got your priorities a little off. One second. So this is very important. So you want to try to do that. Now, you want to get your priorities straight. It's a very nice custom to start. It's a very nice custom to start that you add up your suda and shalach manas bill, and you give a little more to matanos le'avon, and I need to wait the whole year for this. So, and that's a very famous, Rambam. And now, most of us don't like know the anim directly. So what happens on Purim is, you give the money to a tzedakah organization before Purim, and they know where the anim are. The anim find them, and then they're going to divide up your money to the anim on Purim. So there are different. There'll be different people collecting here. There's a sign up to where to give matanos le'avon to. They did it already. Okay. So you're going to give to various people, organizations that distribute money on Purim. And then you give the money now, and you're Yotze, because on Purim, they'll be delivering the money to the Ani on Purim. So that's about Matanos Avyonim, and that's the world famous. So you have to give at least two manos to one person. Okay. Yeah, so look here in the Shulchan Aruch. Tafrei Sadihei Seif Dalet, page 322. This is the basic halacha. Chayav Lishlach Chaveiro Shtei Manos Basar O Minei Acholim. So that's it. You give two items to one person, and you're yotze. That's from the Gemara. Lishlach Manos Ish Lirei Ehu. Two items to one person, and you're yotze. Very nice. Now, just first of all, there's a big misconception out there. There's a huge misconception out there that it has to be two different brachos. No one said that. That's made up. There's no source for it at all. Not one posek says that. It doesn't have to be two different brachos. It has to be two different things. In other words, you can't take, let's say, take a steak, cut the steak in half, and give the person both halves of the steak. That doesn't count because it's steak and steak. But let's say you want to give somebody a bottle of red wine and a bottle of white wine. That's fine. That's two different things. As long as it's not mamish, the same thing. Again, it's one of these misconceptions. Somebody must have bought this like 60 years ago, and like all the third graders in class became teachers 30 years later, and they taught the next generation, and somehow the whole world thinks that, but it's just not true. It's not true. I don't know where it's out of from. Again, you can't give the same thing. But as long as it's two different things, you know, if you give a candy bar and a soda, that's great. Two shahakols, that's fine. They're different things. Okay, so that's just point number one. Now, the Mishnah Berurah quotes here, there's a chumrah. It's not a halacha, it's a chumrah. That ideally, you want to give something which is befitting for the su'udah. You see, shalach manos, it's supposed to be something, I'm helping you have your su'udah. So when you're giving somebody shalach manos, ideally, you know, a lot of us, you know, we'll give to our friends, or we'll give them a cookie and a drink. That's okay. A cookie and a juice bottle. That's fine. That's your yotze. But ideally, it's best to give something which fits for the meal, because the original purpose of shalach manos was to make sure that everyone had a good Purim suda. So if you're giving shalach manos, to give a challah roll that people might use is a great idea. A challah roll and a small bottle of wine. Or you can bring dessert. Give somebody, you know those after dinner mints? Those are a nice thing, a nice dessert that someone might use at their meal. So again, ideally, it's best to give something which could be at the suda. It could be dessert too. You know, back in the 1980s, so people gave jelly beans because the president back then, his name was Ronald Reagan, he was into jelly beans. So jelly beans became a chashev of food because he was the president. He always had a can of jelly beans on the table in the Oval Office. That was his thing. Okay, that was his, all right, whatever. So, okay, and I don't know what Trump would have there. I don't want to go there. What's going to put there? Okay. Anyway. Guys, in the end, you have to do ishtadlus. we just try to elect the right person, whoever it is. But Hashem, the theme of Purim is Hashem runs the world. We have to daven, we have to do tshuva, and at the end Hashem runs the world. Yes, you're supposed to care to the point of doing ishtadlus, try to figure out who would be better for this, better for Israel. You can try to help. You ought to do that. But you have to know Hashem runs the world. There's a famous phrase, Lev Melachim Beyad Hashem. The hearts of kings are in Hashem's hands. That means Hashem runs the world. Hashem has a plan for history. And the more we do mitzvot and do tshuva, better off we're going to be. All right, but so to bring a dessert is fine. Some people, the people that really take shalchmanos, they'll like cook and bake. They'll bake kugels. So they give somebody a kugel and a roll. That's like a serious part of the meal. That's a serious shalchmanos. Kugel, they'll use it the meal maybe, and a roll. So ideally, it's best if it could be used for the suda. You don't have to, but it's that's best. That the Mishnah Berurah quotes here in the Be'er Halacha. Now, you don't have to give 5,000 shalach manos. There's a custom that's around, I remember when I was younger, so it's at least X number of years old, that you give everyone in the neighborhood, you make these bags, and you make 80 bags, and everyone makes, and then you pass the 80 bags around, and everyone ends up with a big bowl full of 80 bags full of candy, and which you try to eat until divide up and with the kids, and then you try to eat it before Pesach. I had a Rebbe once who said that he wanted to put marks on all the little bottles of wine that he gave out to see how many he'd get back eventually by the end of Purim. It's a chop. He never did a chop to do something. Anyway, now you don't have to do that. And there's nothing wrong with it, but you don't have to. Now listen, and this is when it gets such a shame. Sometimes, you have a list and someone doesn't give you shalach manos, and you're so upset. Why don't they give me? So one point of shalach manos is to help somebody with their suda. The other point of shalach manos is there's a sefer called the Manos HaLevi. The Manos HaLevi is the classic sefer on Megillas Esther, written by Rav Shlomo Alkovitz. And he writes that the purpose of shalach manos is to create more friendship amongst the Jews. When Haman began his attack against the Jews, he said, "Mufuza u'mufurat." They're scattered. There's a lot of infighting amongst the Jews, and that's why we can attack them. And what did Esther say? What's the first thing Esther did? Lech Knos, says Kol Yehudim, gather together. Esther said, Haman's right. There's too much fighting. The first thing we have to do is have Achdus, and then we won. So Chazal were Mesakin, yeah. We have to make sure that Purim's time have extra Achdus. So that's why you have Shalach Manos, to have more and more friendship. So if somebody you're expecting Shalach Manos from doesn't send you Shalach Manos, don't get uptight about it. That's exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite of Shalach Manos. They probably have a reason. First of all, maybe they forgot. Okay. And if, big deal. And if they didn't forget, they're running around. There wasn't enough time to get to everyone. Who knows why? But to get to the makpid, oh, I can't believe they didn't give it. We gave them last year. They didn't give back. That goes against the whole point of Shalach Manos. It's a simcha-filled day. You give the Shalach Manos, you get Shalach Manos. They probably have 8 good excuses why they didn't give you, and it's okay. And I heard this from Rabbi Zabolovsky, Shlita. He says, what a shame that sometimes, because you're giving everyone Manos and you don't get, it ends up being the opposite of what it's supposed to be. It's really a shame. Okay. So you don't have to do that. So one thing that began, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, maybe more, was instead of giving shalach manos, you give a tzedakah card. And you give to someone, instead of shalach manos, I gave $18 to tzedakah in your name. That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Give it out now. You're not just shalach manos with that, obviously. You have to give at least one real shalach manos. You right? But if you give, a couple of real shalach manoses, and then you give out to 20 people these cards, that's great. Then you're giving more tzedakah, right? That's matanos avyonim. That's exactly the idea. That's a very nice idea. You have that in your neighborhoods? We give tzedakah cards instead of shalach manos. That's a wonderful idea. Again, you're not yotze. The rabbis always, if you just give out to your friends 40 tzedakah cards, you're not yotze shalach manos that way, right? You have to give one real shalach manos of food. But it's a great idea to do something like that. That's a good way of fulfilling the Rambam, who says what? To give more matanas levinim than shalach manos. Okay? So that's one nice thing that started, and it's a great idea. Just make sure you give one regular one as well. And in our neighborhood, so we do this on our block, I think it's a great custom, Instead of, let's say there are 15 people on the block, on the two sides of the street, 15 families that were friendly. So, we try to meet everyone, but the 15 that are on the block. Okay, 15 on the block. So, instead of all 15 families giving 14 shalachmanos to each other, you have a little like a bowl, and you pull out a name, and each family gets one name. So every year, this is a really nice idea, every year, each family gives one really nice shalach manos, you make it thematic, whatever you do, you know, the colors or whatever, and you give one really nice shalach manos to one other family, and the other 13 families aren't upset because they know that that's what everyone does. And this way, those other 13 shalach manos, which you would have made for the rest of the block, what do you do with that money? It goes to Matanos Avyonim. You got it? It's a very nice custom. That's the Nachal Rifayim custom that we have in Mapei Shemesh. So it's a good idea. It's a very good idea. It began a couple years ago. It began instead of, you know, everyone giving everyone else, and now no one's upset because you got your one family and that's it. And so those are some comments about shadach manos. Okay, yes. Okay, I'll say one idea and then we'll take attendance. So the Gemara talks about drinking on Purim, and it says to drink until you can't tell the difference between Arhaman and Baruch Mordechai. All right. What does that mean? There are a lot of pshatim, what that means. So one of the Rishonim says, it means the gematria. In other words, Aruham and Baruch Mordech, each one is exactly 502. Well, that's not a coincidence. Hashem worked it out. It's exactly 502. So it doesn't mean to get totally plastered till you can't think straight at all. It means that you drink a little, you drink enough until you can't work out the gematria in your head so well, and you get to gematria. To that gematria. Okay, so it means drink a little, it doesn't mean to drink so much. That's what some of the Rishonim say, and that's what a lot of people follow, that view. Not to get very drunk, just to drink a little until your mind's not totally clear. Then you go to sleep. That's what the Ramah says. So there's a famous comment of the Chassam Sofer where he adds on to that idea. They're both 502, but there's a difference. Arur is 407, and Haman is 95. So Arur is more than Haman. Baruch is 228, and Mordechai is 270 something. So by Mordechai, you're going upwards. It's a very nice idea. Haman is starting high, going low. He's heading towards Gehenna. Mordechai starts here and is going upwards. And therefore, although they're the same gematria, they go in different directions. When you're Haman, you're heading to Gehenna. When you're Mordechai, you're heading up to Shemayim, to Gan Eden, with mitzvos. So that's a very nice, that's the Chassam Sofer, I think it's the Chassam Sofer has that a little addition to the gematria thing, that they're both 502, but Haman's heading down, Mordechai is heading up a very nice...